Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Pakistan needs to, I think, take a clear-eyed view of the situation that they're confronted with in terms of the number of terrorist organizations that find safe haven inside of Pakistan.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson being critical of Pakistan during a surprise visit to Afghanistan. He made his comments at Bagram Air Base where he met with Afghani officials. Now Tillerson has popped up with an unannounced visit in Iraq. Tillerson then will move on to more meetings in India and Pakistan. Former President Jimmy Carter saying President Trump is getting rougher media treatment than his predecessors. Carter told the New York Times, quote, "The media have been harder on Trump than any other president," unquote. Carter also added the news media, quote, "think they feel free to claim Trump is mentally deranged and anything else without hesitation." Carter also said the Russians did not steal the election from Hillary Clinton. USA Radio News.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. With a call to National Tax Helpline, you can stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs, you may qualify for substantial savings. So get the help you need. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, call now for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Tax Helpline. 800-735-1776. That's 800-735-1776 for free information. 800-735-1776. That's 800-735-1776.
Another billionaire reality TV host is seriously considering a run for the presidency. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Owner of the NBA's Dallas franchise and a regular on the TV show Shark Tank, Mark Cuban tells Fox News if he runs for the White House, it would probably be as a Republican. Cuban describing himself as fiercely independent, saying he's socially a centrist but very conservative fiscally. Cuban supported Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton last year. I'm Chris Barnes.
Trial is set to begin for the Mexican man who set off a national immigration debate after he shot and killed a woman in San Francisco. Kate Steinle was shot and killed as she and her father walked along a pier in San Francisco in 2015. Illegal immigrant Jose Inez Garcia Zarate is charged with second-degree murder. The Senate is expected to vote this week on a big disaster relief bill. More than $36 billion is aimed at dealing with the ongoing aftermath of three monster hurricanes. USA Radio News.
Franklin Graham calls it a must-see.
Don't you dare tell me about the love and the compassion of your so-called God.
Mike Huckabee calls it a giant step forward for the faith-based genre.
Do you believe that God hears?
God always answers prayers.
Jerry Falwell Jr. says Let There Be Light offers forgiveness and hope when it's needed most. Kevin Sorbo and Sean Hannity present the most anticipated Christian movie of the year. Let There Be Light. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13 in theaters October 27. Find a theater at lettherebelightmovie.com.
The NAACP is going to be making some changes. Correspondent Chris Barnes with a look.
Derek Johnson has served as interim president of the Civil Rights Organization since July. Over the weekend, he was elected to a three-year term. The group wanting to change its nonprofit status into a category that allows for more aggressive political lobbying. This is the century-old organization is looking to find ways to connect with a new generation that's been pushing for racial justice. Johnson saying the change could help the NAACP more actively promote candidates in the 2018 midterm congressional elections. I'm Chris Barnes.
Terrorist attacks in Afghanistan have ramped up over the last week. Correspondent Bill Zinfer takes a closer look.
After a weekend Taliban attack on a military training base left 15 Afghan Army cadets dead, the recent toll continued to build. On Friday, a suicide bomber blew himself up in a Shia mosque in Kabul, killing 56. And since last Tuesday, there have been seven major terror assaults in Afghanistan, killing more than 250 people. In a statement, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani said the terrorist groups would soon be suppressed and destroyed.
Amazon says 238 regions and cities across the U.S. want to host the online retailer's second headquarters. Bids for the new headquarters were due last Thursday. Cities big and small trying to woo Amazon and the more than $5 billion it plans to spend on a second headquarters. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Good afternoon. The weather. Tonight, showers, mainly after 10 o'clock. Looks like I might do it before then, though. And a low around 62. Southeast winds, 10 to 14 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. Tuesday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. High will be near 73. Southeast winds 10 to 16 miles an hour. And there's a 100% chance of precipitation. Tuesday night, showers, mainly before 1 a.m. The rain could be heavy at times. The low is going to be around 54. South winds 3 to 8 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Wednesday, guess what? A chance of showers before 7 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 66. Northwest winds 5 to 7 miles per hour. Wednesday night, there's another chance of showers before 5 a.m. and mostly cloudy with a low around 40. Light west winds, and you might have about a 30% chance of precipitation. And Thursday, chance of showers, there again, So it goes like that for the rest of the week. Welcome to the Hunter Medical Center's Hour. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Nancy Miller.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. Nancy is the coordinator for bone and joint health. And we also have Andrew Overman.
Yes.
I said it right. How about that?
You said it right. Thank you.
Who's a physical therapist. And I tried to say it was a trainer, but he corrected me. Well, welcome. And I always ask people, and I've asked you before, Nancy, because you've been here before, but I'm going to ask you again.
Sure.
It's always a kind of fascination for me to find out how people got into their various positions or, what made them. Some people have said, such and such happened when I was 10 and I always wanted to be a doctor or lawyer or Indian chief or whatever. Others, like me, four kids, mortgage, car payments, taxes, and paying off medical bills. And a job came along and I took it and that was that, But I was just curious how you guys got into your position. So, Nancy, we'll start with you.
Well, it's kind of hard for me to say because I was always going to be a nurse and I've just always was going to be a nurse. It wasn't even anything we even had a discussion about. But if I was to really dig back into when I started thinking about it, I remember reading the biography of Clara Barton when I was in third grade. And I just found what she was, and I was kind of a scared kid. Like, I wouldn't have pictured myself of being a person that liked to do all that things that nurses have to do when I was little. But she appealed to me. And so ever since then, it was just always the decision. It's been, I think it's probably my favorite role in my life. I'm probably the happiest being a nurse more than almost any other thing I do.
Right.
So it was just something that came natural to me.
And that's pretty awesome, because a lot of times, like, for example, myself, in an emergency situation, I can react. Like when I was in the service.
Right.
We were working one night at Wunderbread, where I used to work, in the plant. And a fellow went in and reached too far in and two of his fingers got cut off. So while they were, I found his fingers and, that sort of thing, and helped put a thing on to hold the blood back and all that jazz. I can react when there's an emergency.
Right. Mm. You got an affinity to it.
Right, but after? After I'm shaking and, going to the bathroom a lot and throwing up. But, it's just that's the way it is. I mean, I couldn't do it as a job, so I respect people like you who do it as a job because I couldn't. Like I said, I could do it in an emergency if I'm one there. But other than that,
it's
not happening.
Thing.
No, that's not
right.
at all.
It's a good thing we all like different things.
It is, really, in a way.
Definitely.
It's a good thing there's people like you that like doing what you're doing, because, let's face it, we need people like you. All right, you're up, sir.
My turn. I would say for me, I don't think I necessarily knew I wanted to be a physical therapist early on, but I played sports through high school, three different sports, and then I went to Vanderbilt, I walked on to the football team and was playing there for a few years and had a lot of interaction with the sports medicine department and the physical therapist there. And once I decided to stop playing, I gravitated towards those individuals in sports medicine and really just enjoyed the hands-on, the interaction with physical therapy and the idea of helping people not only recover from injuries, but help prevent them from recurring. And it just kind of took its own shape from there. And
plus having that background of being an athlete yourself has to help when you're communicating with people.
It does. And I always appreciate that. There's an empathy and an understanding to have an idea of where people are coming from in their own right with various injuries, not just the pain itself or the dysfunction and the decreased tolerance for certain activities, but I think the emotional, mental aspect of the vulnerability that comes along with it, where people,
right.
you're not just helping someone physically recover, you're helping them kind of take control again.
Yes.
And understand.
Know that they can overcome it.
Know that they can overcome it and understand how to prevent things in the future. So the educational component is also a huge part of it. And it's an inspiring role to play because you get to be a part of an experience in helping someone take control back and recover to where they were and at times be even stronger and
right.
accomplish more right. than they had prior to injuries.
And, you know, it's very similar to, like, I've been highly involved with NAMI for the last 20 years because of my youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I talk to people, it's not like I read a book and I'm telling them what to do or how they should do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived it. And
right.
I'm still living it, you know.
Right.
So it's like you're doing it. It's you're talking from experience like mm-hmm. you are. You know, I also
There's
played
empathy.
Three sports in high school and then quit because I needed a job. I needed a car and my parents wouldn't get me one because they never had one. My mother never drove and my father was never home. He was always in a merchant marine sailing somewhere. And so I needed a car. So I quit playing sports and went to work
right.
and bought a car, you know. Mm-hmm. But no, so it's like you're talking from experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're talking from a lifetime of experience dealing with, you know, illnesses and people
sure.
that whatever. And when I'm talking to people who have someone in their family with a mental health issue, I'm talking from experience.
There
so
you go.
It's better to be talking from experience because you walk the walk already, you
yes.
know, rather than you just read the book and you're talking the talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking from experience, all of us, the three of us here. So that's pretty awesome. Now, why would someone need a physical therapist?
I would. There are about 20 different answers you could give.
Well, give me 10.
Well, and that's just one of the things, one of the many things I enjoy with physical therapy is the benefits from physical therapy are many in that people, the typical understanding of physical therapy is recovery from injuries or recovery from surgeries, recovery of function. So certain injuries, a person, shoulder injury, they... whether they're playing sports or they have a trade or recreational activities, they need to get that function back. But physical therapy can also help people to avoid certain injuries or decrease the need for potential surgery or delay the surgery.
Need for surgery,
need
yeah.
for surgery. So it can be any of those things and all of those things. And our role, not just in the office but in the community, is really to provide the information and improve general awareness as to what the benefits are
mm-hmm.
with physical therapy.
Okay.
Because these days, I mean, especially with healthcare being where it is, with insurance being what it is, our role can be such that we help people avoid certain costs by learning
sure.
what they can do.
Absolutely.
By having information in their back pocket that they can utilize outside of the medical
mm-hmm.
treatment places, things like that, where and
right.
they can avoid having to see the doctor, having to see a chiropractor, having to have a surgery. So it can be any of those things, and it doesn't always have to cost something.
It could be preventive medicine, basically.
It could be very,
absolutely.
It very
right.
much is preventive
medicine. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, yeah, you, certain surgeries, whatever, you have to have it. But, you know, but a lot of times if people, I would think, if people would go prior, like when they were in good health,
mm-hmm.
they would stay in good health, you know. More, maybe I'm wrong, but I,
it's
yeah.
true. No, and we have those conversations frequently with patients who have really tried to avoid going to physical therapy or seeing their physician and eventually getting physical therapy. Where when they finally reach our office, either they've had the surgery or the injury or issue going on has become so severe that they have a snowball effect of other maladies as
mm-hmm.
a result of waiting and trying to power through it. So
right.
that's where oftentimes in what's become more of a regularity is the preoperative physical therapy that at times either helps people understand what they'll need to do in the immediate aftermath of surgeries and also help them get as strong, as flexible, as functional as possible prior to surgeries to reduce the amount of time spent in the aftermath of surgery having rehab.
Right.
That gets proved time and time again for us in the joint replacement program. Patients that take the time to get just a short regimen of exercises that they're doing and kind of get a religion with it, and their outcomes are so dramatically improved, and their ability to get where they want to be after surgery, I mean, we can tell it in the short time when we have them in the hospital. You know, so any of that kind of thing is going to benefit a person before surgery, too.
Okay. Well, I've had both my knees replaced at the same time.
That's brave.
No, that is brave.
No,
it's
not
no
really.
Small task.
No, not really.
Or crazy.
Because,
one of the two.
Yeah. No, actually, my right leg had no cartilage. It was bone on bone. My left leg, they told me, had 2% cartilage. So it was 98% bone on bone.
Right.
So I was going to have to get it done. So why not get it done and get it over with? Because I would have gone back anyway. And the one leg would have been worse because I'd be leaning on it more, right. You know, so, and, you know, the doctor who did the surgery, that's all he does is knees. Mm-hmm. And he said that he had no problem doing both of them, you know, and, but what my point was that prior we went to a meeting, actually, I hate to tell you this, it was done in Morristown. Because I did some research on some of the doctors, and a couple of my friends had used this one doctor, and he was at a Cedar Knoll, so it was up in Morristown, so that's where I went. But anyway, they had a meeting, and at this meeting, it was people that were like me who was going to have surgery, and they gave us this little booklet. And for me, for people that would have knee surgery, they gave you one booklet, hip surgery was another, or whatever. But they gave me this little booklet, and they told us to try to do these exercises twice a day. Well, I would do them three times a day, sometimes four times a day, because what they said made sense, you know, to get the other muscles and such and thing stronger before you go and so on and so forth. And after the surgery, they gave me a booklet and said, do these. And I would do them three, four times a day also. But
you didn't see a physical therapist after surgery?
Well, I went from the operation on a Thursday. Friday, they had me up out of the bed. That was a joy. That was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And every doctor I've ever been to says I have a high tolerance of pain. I don't know if that's true or not, but they tell me I do. And that Saturday, they transferred me to
rehab. Oh, okay.
For 2 weeks, I was supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Well, they released me earlier. You know,
yeah.
But I would be, you know, and everybody had to be in a wheelchair. You know, you couldn't walk or anything like that. So I was in this wheelchair. And every morning, you would go to this big, huge auditorium. And I had this therapist had X amount of people, and I was one of hers. And she said, you know, I said, can I get up? And she says, you want to get up? I says, yeah, can I get a walk and let me get up? I would get up and I'd walk around the gym while she was trying to get people out of the wheelchair or whatever.
Sure.
And I'd be going around the gym. All of a sudden she says, hey, Larry, come here.
Gotcha.
She says, and she put the step out in front. So I'd go up the step and then down. And then, yeah. She says, yeah, now go around. You know, and they'd always ask me, you know, well, on 0 to 10, from 1 to 10, what is your pain level? Mm-hmm. 0. I don't have any pain. I don't
That's
feel
amazing.
You got to feel pain. Okay, 1, you know.
Right.
But I didn't. I didn't feel pain. And as I'm walking around, a lot of times women would be sitting in their wheelchair, and they go, what are you in here for? I say, I have my knees replaced. What? And you're walking? I've been in here for a week, and I can't get out of the chair. Well, whose fault is that? I don't know.
How long ago was that?
6 years.
Wow.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know,
because ironically, I went on my 5-year backup to the doctor, and he told me, he says, Larry, he says, your replacement looks as good now as the day I put
That's
him in.
That's awesome.
Get out. He says, come back in another 5.
There you go.
So, okay. But I just feel that, and I'm nowhere near a professional like you guys, but I just felt that by doing the exercises religiously,
yeah,
before and after, it helped the recovery faster.
It does, and it's proven to. in that.
Well, it proved in my case.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
You know, the thing is, too, though, I had a conversation this week with, this last week, with a gentleman who had his knees replaced, and his daughter's mother-in-law had her knees replaced, and she had said that she had no pain, and he was struggling quite a bit with pain. And I think Andy would agree with me that you really try, even though you're, that's great that you didn't have pain, it's, that's very unusual not to have any pain at all. Would you not agree?
Yes, especially with the bilateral knee replacement.
Right. So that's a unique thing. And I'm not, and you know, it just like, I would never want anybody to think that that's the standard from which we
should all. Well, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that's me.
I gotcha. Yeah. But you know how people end up comparing themselves?
Yep.
You know, obviously your therapy and all that stuff that you did put you in the right path, but it's super unique not to have any pain at all.
I got to tell you, when they got me up the next morning, the nurse, she was so sweet. She was probably as tall as I was, and, you know, stocky. Uh-huh. And she says, you know, we're going to have to get you up. I said, okay. I'm not thinking, you know. Well, when I stood up that first time, that was the worst pain I think I've ever felt in my entire life. I almost passed out. I collapsed back on the bed. And she says, well, Larry, you can have 5 minutes, but then you're going to have to get up again.
Yeah.
And I says, well, give me 6 minutes and we'll think about it. You know, I was almost in tears.
Yeah.
6 minutes, and she got me up again, and it wasn't quite as bad, but it was still as bad. You know, it was brutal. And she got me over to a chair and sat me in a chair, and I was fine. And then by that afternoon, they had me walking around a room with a,
wow,
with a, what do you call it, one of them walkers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was
so funny. Maybe you had your, compared to that initial bout, maybe your body was saying, okay, so I can stand, if I've survived that, I can stand
pretty much anything, because I got to tell you, that was brutal pain. I mean,
it's kind of a shock to your system.
I don't think I've ever had pain that bad, sure, ever in my life. And, you know, because I, like I said, I almost passed out. I was,
yeah,
like, you know, I almost cried and then passed out. You know? But anyway, Nancy, coordinator of bone and joint health. What is that entitled? What does that mean?
Well, my role is really at this time very focused on joint replacement. So when patients are having their hips or knee replaced, I teach a class similar to what you went to when you went to Morristown. And we have the patients come in and engage with them and set expectations for them about what they can expect. And then, of course, we do a similar thing where we either have just an exercise regimen, or maybe we refer them to therapy if they need to have therapy, prehab, they call that. And then when they're in the hospital, we see them through and then make decisions about discharge planning. Now, 6 years ago, when you had your joint replaced, kind of the culture here in New Jersey was almost everybody went to rehab whether they needed it or not. In 2009, I think 90% of our patients were going to rehab. Now, about, I just did the statistics for this year so far, we're at about 15% that need rehab.
Wow.
And another 12 to 15 that perhaps use a home care setting, like they go home, mm-hmm, but they need to have, mm-hmm, somebody come to the house, right, first. The vast majority, almost 70% of the patients, go home with outpatient physical therapy.
Wow.
So regard, and you know, people always say, well, that must be the younger people. No, it has nothing to do with age as much as ability. So patients that are very, very capable, even though they're in their 80s, might be able to go home to outpatient therapy just as easily as somebody that's in their 60s. And you might have somebody that's kind of debilitated or has some other,
right,
health issues that's younger that does need to go to rehab. So age isn't always a factor, you know.
Right.
But that, and then we set them up with their therapy. Actually, right now I've been having them call themselves because they're pretty much only staying one night and going the next day for the most part. It's just a lot of what I'm teaching and the therapists and the nurses in the hospital is just because we've seen that people are so very capable, and we process them through the system pretty quickly.
Right, right. Well, I know I was in Kessler for a while,
mm-hmm,
and then I went to 100 Health Care up on 31 there
To outpatient. Yes. Oh, right. You mean in Clinton?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And the young lady, I don't know if she's still there or not, but she was awesome. Yeah.
It makes a big difference to have a connection with your therapist, yeah, because they're your coach, kind of, you know, your cheerleader, your...
Yeah. The first day I went in there, I had the walker, and she said, well, that's the first thing we're going to get rid of.
You know? There you go.
About 2 days later, I came in with a cane. She said, that's the next thing we're going to get rid of. And she would have me go into the gym part, and, you know, she showed me which machines to work, and she said, go work on the machines. I got people I have to take care of in here, and I go out and work on the machines and come back in, and, you know, it was pretty awesome.
That's
you know?
Good.
You know. Now, what therapy, physical therapy, do you do? Well, I know it's probably different for every operation, but just say for argument's sake, for somebody has a knee replacement and they come to you. Or get referred to you by Nancy.
It could be, I mean, any joint, so a knee or a hip replacement. Typically, we kind of go about it in stages. Obviously, functional recovery, we want a person back up and doing all the things they were doing prior to surgery or things that they hadn't been able to do for a long period of time before surgery because whether the knee or hip had become so painful, muscle weakness had developed, or joint stiffness or lack of range of motion. But first thing we're trying to do is help reduce pain levels, get the range of motion back to a semblance of normal or what it was, and at the same time, we're working on functional improvements, so helping the person get back up and standing, working on balance, working on what we call weight-bearing strength, working on their walking mechanics. So again, we're trying to put it all back together so a person can recover from the surgery, not just getting rid of pain, but getting back to enjoying all those activities that they've been restricted from since things had been deteriorating over a period of time prior to surgery. So all those things, range of motion, strength, flexibility, balance.
Because I know mine, hindsight's 20/20. If I would have known the difference after the operation, I wouldn't have put up with the pain I had for six or seven years prior to the operation, you know.
You hear that a lot, people saying, I don't know why I waited so long. But you have to psychologically be ready for that surgery.
Well, you know, you hear good and you hear bad, you know. And, all right, the good is great, you know, but one bad can mess up your head.
Sure.
And I've talked to people over the years and, you know, some had great experience, like me, and others had not so great.
You're exactly right.
And so I'm thinking if it's a 50-50 shot, I just assume not do it for a while yet. You know what I mean? But
I don't know if it's 50-50. I think there's more people that do well, don't you, Andy?
I do.
I just my own, you know.
Yeah.
50-50 is my own. I'm not saying that's the...
No,
that's
yeah,
the
but I mean, just for the public to know, I don't think that it is 50-50. I think there's way more people that have a positive experience than negative.
And I also think a lot of it comes down to the person, the individual's approach and mentality going into surgeries and in the aftermath. What we see oftentimes is the most successful patients post-surgery are those who are extremely motivated, those who took the information prior to surgery and maximized the effort in doing the exercises each day, as you said, doing the exercises multiple times. And in the aftermath also, putting in the effort and staying positive and really working not just in physical therapy, in the physical therapy office, but at home.
Right.
One of our greatest frustrations is with individuals who come to physical therapy with the mentality of,
fix me.
Well, I'm here. You need to fix this for me. And they walk out of the door and they're not doing anything that we've discussed in the interim. Uh-huh. And they come back 2 days later to say, okay, well, I'm no better. And yet they haven't done anything at home. They haven't followed up on any of what we had done in the office. And that's where sometimes people struggle or don't succeed as much as others post-surgery because they're not...
Owning it.
Owning up to it. They're not accountable to what they need to be doing.
Right. I know you touched on it briefly, Andrew, but physical therapy can help prevent surgery in some cases.
It can. It's not as black and white with joint replacements. I mean, oftentimes the joint replacement becomes a necessity when cartilage is gone I mean, the joint is just so, there's such, so much degradation.
Yeah, when it's bone on bone in your knee,
there's only so much.
It hurts like hell in plain English. I'm sorry, but it does.
And to that point, the preoperative physical therapy and the postoperative is we're trying to maximize the tissue structures around the joint,
right.
Maximizing flexibility, strength, coordination, and control to, A, get those tissues as kind of functional as possible so after surgery they'll recover that much faster. In other situations, which has more to do with probably soft tissue injury, I mean, with knees, for instance, meniscus injuries or even ligament damage at times, it is possible for a person to get the surrounding muscles and the surrounding structures strong enough to avoid the need for surgery. Because functionally, those muscles almost make up for it. That improved strength makes up for the damaged tissue structures that may not necessarily heal. Shoulders are another great example where you can have what they call a torn rotator cuff and have an MRI that shows there is a tear that won't heal. The tear will always be there. But they can get the surrounding rotator cuff muscles strong enough to support that shoulder, and a person would be perfectly fine without surgery. We've had patients with completely torn muscles in the shoulder. So the rotator cuff, it's four muscles. One of those four muscles, we've had two of those four muscles completely torn and irreparable, so surgery wouldn't be able to help it. Right. And functionally, the person completely recovered. They had full use of the arm. It was weaker, but they didn't need...
Right.
They weren't limited with their functional activities. So it is very possible. And oftentimes that's what's the benefit of physical therapy, because it's conservative. A person can try physical therapy and best case scenario realize they don't need surgery. But worst case scenario is they've gotten stronger. The area is that much more prepared for surgery and will heal that much faster in the aftermath.
Okay. Does someone come to you first, to your... Do they get referred to you, or
actually, what the best system to, if a person had any malady that they wanted to be seen? Now, let me just, before I say this, can a person self-refer to physical therapy?
Yes.
So you think you have something wrong with you, they could just call you guys directly, and you could see them without a doctor writing for a prescription.
We can, and it depends. Often depends on the insurance carrier.
Okay.
So some insurances allow what we call, what is referred to as direct access.
Okay.
So a patient can come to our office before even seeing their physician, and we can go through an evaluation. We can treat them for a period of time, and then there are time limits to how long we can treat a patient. So we treat a patient for 30 days. If in that time frame they do well, they're discharged and fine, but if after 30 days we still believe they need physical therapy, at that point, they do need to see their physician and come back with a referral.
So the alternate to that would be is if you don't know if therapy is even something you need, you could start with your primary care physician. If you felt it was something that you needed to go to see the orthopedic surgeon, even though they're surgeons, they're really orthopedists. They don't want to just operate on everybody. It's actually more people that they see they don't do any surgery on at all, but they would at least give you some advice and direction.
Okay. And how do you get involved in all this stuff?
I tend to get involved with patients at this point in my career after they're scheduled and the decision has been made that they do need surgery.
Okay.
So I am more of the concierge, is what I call myself, at the hospital. So making sure that they are seen through their experience and know that I'm a resource before, during, and after surgery, and that I can make sure that they get hooked into the things that they need. People will call me after surgery about a concern or an issue and need some direction, but I really don't see patients in the outpatient setting unless they're already scheduling for surgery.
Okay. Now, where is your physical therapy located? Is it at the hospital or?
My office is actually on the corner of, 31 and Bartles Corner.
Okay. All right. That's the one
that newer building.
Yeah, right. It's across from the thrift store, basically.
Huh?
It's across, basically, from the new thrift store.
Yes, it is, exactly. Yes. Right across the street.
Right,
on that corner, yeah. But Hunterdon Medical Center has six?
Six. We have our two wellness centers in Clinton and White House.
Right.
We have an office in Washington that recently moved to a bigger
facility.
By the Hawk Point.
Right.
And we have the inpatient office and also the building in Sand Hill on Westcott, which is below Mid-Jersey Orthopedics.
And then I think there's talk about getting a facility down in Lambertville at some point.
Yes, I think that is in...
That's down in Lambertville?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we really don't have anything south of Flemington, you know. Oh, and we also have Somerset, Bridgewater.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
Yes, which opened last year. So.
Yes, sorry about that.
Somerset as well.
It just, you know, it's amazing to me that all the various hospitals are coming to roll around. Like, you go to Clinton, there's St. Luke's Emergency Center there by Walmart, you know, and Hunterdon is going to Somerville. And
you know. I know.
A big turf war.
It is.
It just seems like, gee, you know. But
right. Well, whatever. Everybody's got it. You know, there's a lot of people that need serving, and, you know, it's good business. You know, I mean, it's good to make sure that you're meeting everybody's needs, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that would be true, but, you know, it just seems to me that if you're in Pennsylvania or in a hospital, why would you come over here? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
You'd be surprised,
but,
Larry.
You know, I know.
You know what I mean? And a lot of it, like, this kind of made me think of this when Andy was first talking about, you know, why he likes being a therapist, is the connection you make with people. The same would, of course, hold true. You know, there's doctors that you connect with and doctors you don't. So we have patients coming from Middlesex County over mm-hmm. to Hunterdon Medical
okay.
Center
yeah.
and Monmouth County, and very happy and coming back because they like the connection they have and the services that they're getting. So I think people are getting more willing to travel for services mm-hmm. maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
You know, it does. It just... I don't know. Just it's, weird
it's,
to me.
It's
but,
different
you know.
Than what it used to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. You know.
You bet.
After surgery, and I'm sure it depends on the surgery, you know, where it was, the shoulder or the hip or whatever, but is there a length of time that for post-surgery therapy?
It really varies.
That's I thought.
I've had patients and individuals who've had knee and hip replacements who literally have come in 1 to 2 visits and literally on their first day say, look, doctor said I need to come for physical therapy. I don't think I need to be here. Just show me what I need to do at home and I think we'll be good. And they've done tremendously well. I mean, I'd say that's more the exception.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had patients who've come in for 8 to 10 weeks for physical therapy because it's been a challenging road. And again, joint replacements are no small surgery. So I would say that 6 to 8 weeks might be a little more of the norm. But
I've also heard people say, too, I'm the type of person that needs that
yes.
hands-on. From
if I'm not here, I'm not going to do it.
Right. Yes. They know themselves well, you know, and they say, right. I just know that if I don't go over there, I'm going to, you know, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they do partner with you, but I do think that that's wise. I'm always encouraging people, do what works for you, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, right.
Those tend to be the personalities that we need to repeatedly encourage to take a step away from physical therapy because at times...
You can overdo.
There can be a reliance on physical therapy where part of our responsibility is to help empower the person to take control. You know what you need to do at home. These are the things, very simple, they're straightforward. You can go back to your gym, you could do these independently, but... It doesn't have to be here.
Right.
Right.
That can at times
You've
be...
You've got this.
It can be a crutch for patients because there's a safety.
Yes, I would agree.
A comfort in yep. having that awareness.
Is there a... Let's say for knee... Because I'm more familiar with knee surgery than any other. Is there a... what's the word? A position the knee has to flex to before they allow...
Discharge
from physical therapy.
No. And actually what's interesting and what's oftentimes discouraging for patients, for individuals to hear is from an insurance standpoint, and this is where we have to find a good middle ground. From an insurance standpoint, what we often have to help patients understand is insurance carriers, in theory, only need you to be about 70% for them to deem you worthy of finishing physical therapy, or for them to say, we no longer need to reimburse and cover physical right. therapy, you're 70% better, you can go up and down stairs, you can go to work, you can get in and out of your car, so functional tasks. Whereas for us, so using knee as an example, ideally for me, I would like to see a person have upwards of 120, 25 degrees of knee bend or flexion to mm-hmm. be ready to discharge from physical therapy. And from a straightening standpoint, we really want to see a person be able to straighten their knee entirely, which
right.
for as little as it seems, 5 degrees from fully straightening or extended can be problematic for a person. So those can be our big objective
okay.
goals. But our focus goes more towards function. So we want to make sure a person is able to do all of the things he or she strives to do, whether it be at home,
sure.
recreationally, work-wise, playing with their grandkids, playing with their children, going outside, going for walks. I mean, all those things that for one person might be entirely about work-related tasks, and another person, a grandmother or grandfather who just wants to be able to get on his or her knees to play with the grandkids. So it's very much dependent on each person's...
I can get down. Getting up is the tough
getting
part.
Up
right, right. That's true.
I can get down with no problem. It's getting up.
What do I do now? I'm down.
Yeah, exactly.
Here.
How do I get up? No, but it's, it's interesting because I can do just about everything I did. The only thing I can walk up and down stairs. I don't like it. No, seriously, because
it hurts.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It just feels like it's difficult. Mm-hmm. I can do it. I'm more comfortable walking on a level circle, like in a gym.
Sure.
Than out. My wife doesn't belong to the gym. She goes out and walks around the block, which is about 2.5 miles, but it's like up and down and up and down, and I can't do that. But then again, I can do what I can do, and
right.
I go to the gym. I can work out at the gym and stuff like that, and I don't have any pain, and it's fine, And I don't have pain for walking up and down stairs. It just feels a little funny, for lack of a better way to describe it. But other than that, it's fine. I can stretch my leg out full. I can bend it full.
Can you bend on your knees? Like get on the floor?
I have to have a thick
pad. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
That's a painful one.
I was going to say that seems to be a challenge after knee replacement, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's typically one of the last things that becomes comfortable. And unfortunately, and what patients always wonder is, it feels bad enough they think they're injuring.
Yeah.
Break.
Right.
The surgery, but it's just painful. And it's just, the more you do it, the better it can become. But it's painful.
The doctor told me, he says, put a pad down.
Right.
He says, there's no sense kneeling down on a hard floor.
No.
He says, put a pad down. He says, and, that's what I do.
Or get one of them reachers.
Right?
Or get my wife and get down. But seriously, it's, I'm not broadcasting for surgery, but I think that knowing what I know now as opposed to what I didn't know back then, I would have had it done a lot sooner.
Sure.
And I think that the physical therapy was a big part of it. It was helpful,
You bet.
And I still ride the bike and stationary bike. I don't, I do it at the gym. And, I do machines at the gym and stuff like that. And, I don't have a problem.
Being active is always better.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially at my age. Yeah.
Right?
For all of us.
Right?
That's true.
Because, like I said, we said before, you can go to physical therapy without having a need for surgery
mm-hmm.
because it could be like a preventive thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, someone comes to you at your location and they don't have any need for surgery, but they want to try and stay in shape or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that allowed?
Not necessarily. In that regard, I mean, if a person is seeing us, typically physical therapy, they'll see us if there's something functionally wrong.
Okay.
If there's an area that's injured or if there's a back pain, neck pain, but something that is having a negative impact on a person's functional tolerance, or what we call quality of life. Like, mm-hmm. it's interfering with their day.
Okay.
And then in that case, we'll zero in on the underlying cause of that problem and work towards not only alleviating or improving upon that issue, but
okay.
kind of helping the person understand, here's what was wrong, here's why it's going on, here's what you need to do, here's what we'll be doing for you to recover, and then here's what you need to keep doing in the aftermath to avoid this happening again, if it wasn't a traumatic injury.
Right.
And then they're on their merry way. In the case of someone who, for instance, wants to, as you say, maybe get in shape or feel better, what's great is we have our two wellness centers, one in White House, one in Clinton, that we can then say, listen, we work with the wellness centers. They have great training staff on both ends. We know them directly. They have their own backgrounds. We can contact one of the wellness centers, whomever might be
right.
closer, say, this is who I'd like you to go see. I've contacted him or her. They'll be waiting for your call, can set up an evaluation, and then they'll take that person through their own evaluation that's more mm-hmm.
yep.
more of a training evaluation to get a feel for what their deficits are, what areas might need improvement, and also find out what the goals of the individual are. I mean, as I said, some people might just want to be able to play with their children or their grandchildren or their families more. Some people might want to get back involved in recreational sports or just recreational activities. So it's all very dependent on the individual and their his or her goals.
And a lot of times people don't know how to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need yeah. to learn how to use equipment or how, you know, and maybe you don't want to necessarily get a gym membership, but you just want to know what's good exercises for what I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that would be
right.
the trainer type of a person. Mm-hmm.
Some that you could do at home.
Exactly. You know, absolutely. There's a lot of things you can do at home.
Right. You know.
You bet.
And you not... that I'm knocking the gym because I belong to the gym,
course,
but you know,
right.
but you have there's a cost involved, you know, and not everybody.
Well, in different
literally
things for different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, but not only that, but a lot of times people can't afford it.
Well, there you go.
Know,
right.
They're on a limited income and they can't afford it.
Doesn't mean you should be inactive.
Right. Exactly. I mean, there are things you could do at home, you mm-hmm. know,
and that don't require you buy special equipment.
Right.
Or special
right.
Things.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, my wife walks around a block, and in that case, it's 2.5 miles.
Right. And, do you have a dog?
No.
See, dogs are good. They yes. like to walk a lot.
Yeah, we we used to have dogs, no more.
Yeah.
You know, because
we
try to go away and, you know.
Well, yeah, there's
then
that,
you have to
yes.
find out some place where to right. keep them or whatever, and it's not worth it anymore.
Sure.
You know, but no, she goes and she'll tell me, I'm just going to walk around a block, or she'll tell me, I'm going to do the long walk. She goes down to the end of the block that we're on, the end of the street across from us, makes a right and goes up about 3/4 of a mile and turns to there's a horse farm there. She goes up and looks at the horses, then turns around, comes back and goes around a block. So it's,
she gets a good run.
Oh, yeah. She gets,
good.
She gets a good one, you know.
That's good.
But, you know. And it's fine for her because a lot of times she'll stop and meet people, you know, and they'll talk, and then she'll go on a walk again, and you know that sort of thing. So
you
it's,
bet.
You know, it's social, but though, you know,
that yeah. plays a positive role also.
Exactly,
it sure does.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, I know the hospital takes insurance. You know,
yes.
Similarly,
they take all the same contracts.
All the same.
Mm-hmm. The hospital does.
Okay.
I don't think there's anybody we don't take
no,
insurance from.
Right.
No. Medicare, Medicaid.
Medicare,
all
Medicaid,
you know,
managed Medicare,
stuff.
Managed
yeah.
Medicaid, all the
yeah.
Uniteds.
Yeah.
Everything.
Cigna, all those people.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if someone wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
They can call our office, 100 Sports and Physical Therapy, which is 908-237-7096.
908-237-7096. And what was the name of it again?
100 Sports and Physical Therapy.
Sports and Physical mm-hmm. Therapy. That's the one we talked about that was on the corner of the traffic
Correct.
Light.
But as right. we had mentioned earlier, we also have offices that provide all the same things
right.
as my office does in Washington, Somerville,
Bridgewater.
Bridgewater.
White House, Washington, Clinton here, and soon to be in Lambertville.
Right, right. Do you know where in Lambertville yet?
It is.
We can't tell you.
Okay.
If we told you, Larry, we'd have to
shoot me.
Do some bad
things. Oh, gee, what a shame.
It's near the CVS.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're actually where yeah. what they're working on is near the Phillips Barber.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, kind of. It might even be somehow connected in some way. I don't know all the details of it, but
it's top secret.
Top secret. Can't say.
But it's in the air.
Right. Okay. All right. And you guys take all the insurance, I know.
We do. And if anybody ever wanted to call me about any questions, they could call me at my office, which is 908-788-6423. 908-788-6423.
All right. And they could go on the website, though, too, couldn't
yes,
they?
Yes, they could.
Right? For
yes.
You're on there, too?
Mm-hmm.
Want to tell them the website? Sure.
Well, my website is www.centerforjointhealth.com. So if you go centerforjointhealth.com, then there's that links you into the Hunterdon Medical Center website, and you could click on physical therapy and find Andy.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That saved me.
See?
It saved you.
they gotta see me to get, they gotta go through me to get to you, Andy.
What are you trying to say? You didn't know that. Hey, look, you
exactly
know.
What Nancy said.
Yeah, right. Well, what she says is always true.
That's yeah.
right. At least on here, anyway.
You guys are well trained.
Yes, ma'am. But now it's, you know, it's interesting to me because. Maybe in the last 2 minutes or so, if you could briefly, what are some of the warning signs that you see from...
That you maybe should get seen?
That you maybe should see somebody, either a physical therapist or a doctor or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say anytime you're having pain that is preventing you from doing things, mm-hmm. Pain that wakes you up at night, and of course we're talking obviously not chest pain, but like knee pain, mm-hmm. hip pain...
Right.
Shoulder pain. You can't get a position of comfort when you're trying to sleep at night. It's interrupting you.
Yeah, unrelenting pain.
Unrelenting pain, yes. Swelling in a joint.
Okay.
Of course, any redness and any time there would sure. be like an inflammation, which isn't always what you'd see, but mm-hmm. that's obviously something. At the very least, see your primary care physician. You know, it's pretty inherent. People tend to kind of know... when something hurts and it's not going away or it's lasting and you don't remember ever injuring it,
right.
you know, people kind of go, you know, I probably should get this knee checked because it's just like I'm choosing not to go to the mall now because mm-hmm. if I walk
yeah,
around the mall.
Yeah, I don't walk around too much, yeah.
Right, I can't sleep at night,
right.
you know, that kind
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming.
Well, it was fun to see you, Larry.
And it's always a pleasure seeing you, Nancy.
Thank you, and I'll see you again, I know.
Yes, probably Friday.
On Friday. We see each other every Friday morning at the hospital.
I volunteer at the hospital on Friday at the main gate where you walk in by admitting.
I know it's Friday when Larry's there.
Yeah, and she always tells me it's Friday.
That's perfect time.
And, you know, and or, gee, happy Friday or something, and I always usually say, I'm retired, every day's Friday.
So, yes, yeah. He lives a rough life.
Yeah,
but you do
life.
A lot of good things, Larry.
I work harder now than when I worked.
I know. I know. It's
true.
Good.
It's true. You know, when I worked, I was a boss. You know, you do this and you do that, you know, and let me know what that Friday, you know. Now I look and, you know, my wife looks at me and laughs. You know. But it's been a pleasure to have you both.
Thank
here.
You.
And
great to
I
be
would
here.
Really love to have you back.
Well, we'll come
anytime,
back.
You know. And remember, folks, just keep healthy. And if you feel like you have pain or something like that, call Nancy. You know,
there you go.
And
exactly.
She might refer you to Andrew.
That's right.
Perfect, yeah.
But that's a, you know, perfect triangle there.
There you go. There you go.
All right. And we'll be here same time, same station next week. See you then. Have a good week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
when your eyes remain stymie when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.